Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
Over it, but we'll look at verses 1 through 11 and then 16 through 20. And it's the story of Jesus sending out the 70. So Luke 10, 1 to 11, and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See on your way. Go on your way, and see, I'm sending you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house,' and if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it'll return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provided, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Don't move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off and protest against you.'" Then verse 16, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so again, today we're focusing on the mission part. There's a few things you could look at in the scripture. One of them is, it's interesting how Jesus is the point of division for people. People either accept or reject the message, and the disciples are called to kind of respond accordingly, to continue to offer to the people who accept it. But instead, we're going to look at just the mission that's being sent out. The story of Jesus sending out is either 70 or 72, so your translation may have 72 or it may have 70. There's different manuscript evidence for that, but either way, you get the idea. Jesus is sending out either 70 or 72 and sending them out into mission. And so one of the questions that I think that we might have going into this is, so is this just a story about Jesus sending some folks out back then, or does this apply to us today? Like, are the followers of Jesus still sent out into mission today, or is this just a story about something that happened to some folks back then? And Jesus says, because as you start to think about that, Jesus says, hey, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the harvest is plentiful, if you think about that, what would that look like today? You might think of people just kind of like wandering around thinking, man, I hope somebody talks to me about Jesus, and just like hoping that you'll come up and say, "Hi, friend, have you heard of Jesus? I've been waiting for someone to share." Like, but it doesn't seem to be the thing. But that's kind of the mental image, you know, if the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And so you think, well, I don't know, does that apply to us or not? But really, as you, and I think another reason why that's kind of challenging is, to be sent out as a missionary is a challenging thing. Like, it's hard. To be sent out in mission means that you gotta learn things about different people. You gotta go to be in different places. You have to learn how to speak different languages, so to speak. Even if it's in your own language, you gotta learn where people are coming from to be able to understand folks. Like, if we're really sent out to, if all of us are sent out in mission, if we're all sent out to, if Christ is sending out all of his followers to be in this sort of mission, that means that we're gonna have to do things like, I don't know, think of other people first and make sacrifices, which just in general, I try to avoid those sorts of things, you know? But that's kind of what is being called. And I think if you honestly look at Scripture, and here's where the challenge comes in, if you honestly look at Scripture, it really seems to suggest that this is not just a story about Jesus sending out 70 people a long time ago, but this is a story about the sort of thing that Jesus is doing and continues to do. So you see it like in Acts 1:8, where Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, "You'll be my witnesses from basically from here to the ends of the earth." And then the rest of Acts is them the church being witnesses to Jesus and as it goes. And that's kind of the model of this is how the church began, and this is kind of what our story is, to be people who go out and who share the message of Christ. Or Matthew 28, at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. And so you get this sense that Jesus is saying to all of his followers, you need to go out in mission. You need to go out and share the gospel. You need to go out and share the good news. So then, what are we doing? Are we responding to that? I think that challenges us because there's kind of a couple different ways you can see what it means to be a person of faith. And so to help you all picture this perfectly, I spent a little bit of time kind of working on some drawings yesterday. And so faith, like one way on the left is faith is kind of what you do or where you go. And so then there's different places you go. And so faith is just one of the, like, you go to church. How do you know you're a Christian? Well, I go to church on Sunday. I first heard Keith Green say this. He says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Like, that's not how it works. But we kind of think that way. Like, well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. And then you go to work or you go to recreation. That's bowling, because that's a big thing, hip thing with the new kids, with the kids now, bowling. And then recreation with the old TV and family, all that stuff. So you got these different areas of life, and you get some percentage that you devote to each one. And, like, you're in the middle choosing, and then faith just becomes one of the things that you do, one of the places that you go. And so faith is just a chunk of your life or a segment, but it's not your entirety of life. Another way to think about it, and I think the way the New Testament teaches, is faith is what you are. Your faith in Christ shapes who you are. Faith is it becomes more about who you are. And so it's this relationship with God. This was a little more abstract, so a little more challenging. So the circle was supposed to be like you're a part of the kingdom of God, and then all those little circles are supposed to be other people that are in the kingdom of God with you. I didn't draw the bodies, so you have to really use your imaginations, but you're the all-stars, so you can do this for me. And you're like part of the kingdom, and in the kingdom, Jesus is Lord, and you go out into the world as a representative of the kingdom of God, right? As a representative, because faith is who you are. You are a citizen of Jesus Christ, always. You don't turn that off. Like, that's just a part of who you are. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, it's not like, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to go do this horrible thing over here. But then I'll go to church on Sunday, so don't worry. It's like, no, wherever you go. Even if you mess up, you're a Christian, so what do? You pray for forgiveness and that the Holy Spirit would change you and take that sin away from your life. And we see this in Scripture. I think this is a pretty clear thing. And in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians, it says, if anyone in Christ is a new creation, and 1 John talks about us being children of God, that is what we are. It talks about, this faith is something about who we are. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. In fact, in the 70 being sent out, you see it's interesting in the reading where they go out and they're supposed to offer healing and stuff. And if they get rejected, they're supposed to like shake the dust off their sandals, and then they say, but know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Well, why did that happen? Well, because representatives of the kingdom of God were there and they rejected them. Like, to be in faith, to be a faithful person is a person that is, it's who you are. Wherever you go, whatever you do, that you're living that out. You're a person really in mission and living out that faith. Like, that's kind of what it is. And I think, too often in American Christianity, we tend to think more in terms of the one on the left than the one on the right, where we think that Christianity is kind of something you do as a part of a lot of other things that you do, or a place that you go as a part of a lot of other places you go, instead of an identity that you take on. And one of the issues with that is when you talk about being sent out in mission is you think, well, yeah, I do my part. I go to church. There's like the church-going Christians, and then if you're kind of serious about it, you might even be a volunteering at the church level Christian, right? You might even be a show-up-to-church-on-4th-of-July weekend sort of Christian, right? Then if you're even more serious, you might do something goofy like be on staff at a church. And then if you're really, really serious, you become a pastor. And if you're like insanely serious, you become a missionary, right? And this is, but luckily those missionaries that are up here, those special people that God has called that are totally different than me, they worry about things I don't even have to worry about, because I don't have to care about the people around me and sharing Christ, because like that's their job, right? And so you get this sort of, I don't know, these sort of levels of, instead of just saying, no, you're a It's who you are. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, living that out wherever you go. I mean, scripturally, there's no doubt that God makes a claim on our entire life. When Jesus calls people to follow him, what did the disciples do when he said, follow me? They dropped everything and followed him. And then he'd teach things like, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with 23% of your heart? No. Like all of yourself, your whole life. Faith is an identity. It's who you are. It's who you are. And so we get sent out in Jesus' name. There's some cool things with that, by the way. We see first there's some power with this. When the disciples say in verse 17, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Like, they were pretty impressed by that. They were excited by that. There's power given to the representatives of the kingdom. And Jesus says, you know, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Now, you need to know that snakes and scorpions, like, don't go out barefoot and walk on scorpions. Like, that's is a symbolic way of saying there are the powers of evil out there. And if you are in Jesus' name as Jesus' representative, the authority of Christ is on you to be able to cast out demons. It's not like a battle where I don't know who's going to win. Like, Jesus wins. And if you go out as a representative of Jesus, that authority is there to cast out the demonic or to cast out the forces of evil. And they're also sent out with the peace of Christ, which is an interesting thing. Did you notice in the reading where it says you go to somebody's home and then you offer your peace, and if they accept it, then you share in that peace, but if they reject the peace, it comes back to you? It's like a token that you get. It's weird, right? You don't think of peace that way, that you would hand peace and they don't take it, so they give it back. But he's saying it's almost like this tangible thing. They're sent out with the peace of Christ, and they're to offer the peace of Christ to people, and there are people who will accept that, and there are people who will reject that. And their job isn't to determine who they think is going to accept it or reject it. Their job is to offer it. And some people accept it, and if they don't, it returns to them. You go out with the peace of Christ. And they also go out with they're sent out to cure the sick in Jesus' name. To pray for folks, to call upon God to bring healing in people's lives. There's power given to the followers of Jesus. They needed that power because the mission field, or the world, is seen as an arena of conflict. Like, there is conflict going on. And I don't mean conflict like they want to go out and punch non-believers in the nose. Like, that's not what it's talking about. The conflict isn't interpersonal conflict between people, although people will accept or reject Christ. The conflict is a spiritual battle. It's a conflict between Christ and the devil and his minions. And so that's why you see them send out with the authority to cast out the demonic. Like, there's a brokenness and a hostility towards Christ within the world. And so they're given the power to go out there and to offer the gospel, to go out there and to speak the power of Christ into people's lives, to break the bondages that people are in, to do exorcism, which oftentimes in Luke, exorcism is connected to healing. So within this conflict, then, people either, they get the message, and then the people either accept or reject Christ. So they go out in Jesus' name. Well, what would it mean for us to go out in Jesus' name? Or maybe what should we be doing to be able to go out in Jesus' name? Like, what does it mean for us to be representatives of Christ, to be representatives of the kingdom of God? If our faith is who we are, then what does it mean for us to go under the authority of Christ? Like, how would you even work that? Well, I'd say, you know, probably one of the first things we ought to make sure we do is that we actually have a relationship with Jesus. Like, you can't go out and say, you know, I'm representing the king, and then have no relationship at all with him. So you need to have this relationship with Christ. Like, the disciples, they walked with him, they talked with him, he taught them, they lived with him, like they had a relationship with him. One of the things that I think the evangelical part of the church has done well is it has emphasized a personal relationship with Christ. Like, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so that means that you'll need to be in prayer, that you'll need to open up your heart to Christ. You'll need to ask yourself, well, what would Jesus have me do here? How can I do this and to be in this conversation? So you need to have a relationship with Jesus and be taught by him. And being taught by him leads us into the next thing. You should probably know what Jesus teaches, like know what's going on. You can't say, I'm going to go out and do what Jesus did and then make it up as you go, like whatever makes me feel warm and fuzzy or whatever, because I don't know about you, but I've been wrong about stuff before. Like, I need something from the outside giving me guidance. And so if Jesus is going to be our teacher, we need to know what Jesus teaches. Well, where's the best place to find that? The Bible, right? The gospel specifically. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and when you're done, start reading them again. Stories of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're going to get a picture of him. Like, it makes sense, doesn't it, that you would want to know, who is this Jesus and what would he have me do? Well, the best way to do that is to read his teachings and to read about his life and to read about his healings and read that sort of stuff and to study it, to learn about who this Jesus is and what he teaches. And then the last thing, about being a representative for Christ, to be a representative for the kingdom, to go out in Jesus' name, is to realize that the power doesn't come from you, the power comes from God. That we depend upon the filling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God to be with us, which, by the way, Jesus promises to those who believe in it. As you have this personal relationship with Christ, you have the presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, the very presence of God. And then we hear all sorts of things. It's the comforter, the advocate, but it also convicts you of your sin. Like, all of this stuff. Like, the Holy Spirit will teach you as well. But then the Holy Spirit sends you out in power. So as you pray and ask God, how can I go forward and do this mission thing, that it's the Holy Spirit that can guide your heart and convict you and give you words to say. In fact, I was thinking about this, and I wasn't sure kind of how to put this in. But one of the ways to think about, like, maybe you're sitting asking, okay, so what would it mean for me to be in mission? Well, what if we did this as you're reading scripture and you're learning more about Jesus and stuff? But then what if you start to pray to God, Lord, could you please show me who you want me to be in mission to today? Something like that. The dangerous thing about those sorts of prayers is, what if God answers them? Lord, can you show me who you want me to love today in Jesus' name? Be careful, right? Because then God may answer that. And you may be going about your day, and maybe you're busy, and you just got to buy your pack of gum from the gas station, because we all do that, right? And you're buying the pack of gum, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and you notice something about the cashier, and you think, but I got to go back, because the TV's going to be on, or whatever, you know? And you think, hey, are you okay? Could I pray for you? Like, what if God gets you into that position? But we believe that it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Which, by the way, what's the worst thing that could happen if you say, could I pray for you? Get out of here, you horrible person that's thoughtful and wanting to do something nice for me. Like, really, I think you'll survive. It'll be okay. But what if we pray to ask God, you know, Lord, who do you want me to be in contact with? Show me. And then we believe and the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us through that. And you really can say something as simple as, how can I pray for you today? I mean, are you okay? And maybe at some point, you know, hey, can I tell you about Jesus and how he's helped me? It's the power that comes from God, not from you. I want to close with just a couple words of encouragement or hope or something like that. First, I want to say, if you're worshiping with us today and you're not a person of faith, if you're just checking things out, if you're just visiting, or you don't know where you are with the whole Jesus thing, whatever it is, I want to say this. Here we have this scripture of Jesus sending his disciples out. And the reason he does this is because that's what God does. Because God values you and the world. God so loved the world that he sent his son out, knowing that his son would die for our sins. But he sent his son out to rescue us, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Like, that's the movement from God. God sends out in love to go out and to rescue. Like, that's the reason Jesus does this, is because that's the God thing to do. Like, there are people who are hurting and need help. Go to them. Go to them in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and carry the kingdom of God to them. Offer them your peace. And so if you're worshiping with us, you need to know that God sent his son Jesus Christ to save you, to save me. And it talks in here about the healing power over demons and power over demons and that sort of stuff. I will tell you that Jesus Christ has brought healing into my life and has dealt with and continues to deal with evil in my own life to such a great magnitude that I am a completely different person than I would have been without him. Like, Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. And I believe that Jesus wants to bring healing and victory over sin to you in your life as well. And so I want you to know Jesus. And I'm not saying that because, like, I want more people in church or whatever. It's not that at all. I want you to know Jesus because I believe Jesus saves. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to know the peace that comes only from Christ. I want you to be the person that God has designed you to be because I believe that people need Jesus. It's what's best for us. And so know that as you hear this story about being sent out, it's because that's the sort of thing God does. He sends out rescue missions. Second, if you're a Christian, maybe you hear this stuff and you think, you know, this is all fine and good, but you don't know how horrible I am at talking to people or whatever. Or you don't know how sinful I've been. Nobody's going to listen to me. There's no way I'm good enough to do this sort of thing or whatever it is that you're telling yourself. Look, first off, all of us need to grow in our discipleship. All of us do. Me, you, everybody. We all need to pray more and study Scripture more, learn more about Christ, grow in depth of our faith and our relationship with Christ, have more of the Holy Spirit in us. Like, we all got to grow. So you're not alone in that. We all need to grow in our discipleship and faith. But that does not mean that God has ruled you out as a way to connect people to his son, Jesus Christ. God still desires to use you to reach people. You have talents and insights that no one else in the world has. You have relationships with people that no one else in the world has. As I just talked to you about, maybe praying that God would open up some doors so you could see, you know, who he wants you to share the love of Christ with. I want you to consider this. You know, maybe you're in you're talking to someone, you know someone, you're in a relationship with someone, and you want them to know more about Christ, you've been praying for it. Look, you can take that person and tie, you know, put their hand behind their back and, like, force them into the pastor's office to have a good talking to about Jesus. But what do they care about me? I'm just some dirty hippie preacher, right? They don't know me from Adam's house cat. Maybe it's you that God put in their life for a reason. Now, I am perfectly happy and willing to share Jesus with you. Absolutely. I'll talk to him for sure. My point is, maybe your voice is louder in their ears because you've got a relationship with them. And maybe, just maybe, that's why God placed you in their life. And not that other people can't help out and not that it's all on your shoulders. But maybe God is serious about saying, hey, you are my instrument, you are my vessel. He said, yeah, you don't understand how broken I am. Don't you know that God uses broken instruments and vessels? Like, that's the whole deal. That's why I'm here. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit, not your power. And I know you'll get yourself into some scary spots. I've had incredibly hard conversations about faith with people I care about deeply. And it's hard. And it's scary because you don't want to say the wrong thing. Like, we're afraid that we'll say something, all of a sudden the trap door will open and they'll go to hell or something. Like, some weird thing, right? But look, you just, no matter how much you care about that person, know that God loves them more. And you just tell them about Jesus as best you can and offer to pray for them and trust that it's God working, not just you. Like, what if God really meets you in those moments? I think you'll find that he does. The last bit of encouragement or word of, I don't know, whatever, to spur you on is, in our community, as I've told you before, within this blue shape, there are 10,670 people that are outside of the church and outside of Christ. 10,670 people. And people may hide it well, but there's a lot of hurt out there. There's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of people looking for something out there. And Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I'm going to go out on a limb and think maybe Jesus is right, that the harvest is plentiful. And our job is to go out with the message of Christ and just to share it with people the best way we know how. Jesus has chosen to spread His word through His church, and that means us. And look, I know this. I was one of those 10,000 people. Maybe not here. I was in a different community. I was one of those 10,000 people. And if it wasn't for some folks sharing the love and the message of Jesus with me, then I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't know Christ. It was the church bringing me in and sharing Christ with me through a lot of different people. There was a pastor that was very important in my life with that. But there were also other people who are good friends of mine who were very important in that, sharing the love of Christ with me. And Jesus absolutely captured my heart. See, all that stuff matters because there's other folks out there that are lost, that are looking, and that need Jesus as well. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. But church, we got a mission in front of us. Let's be on that mission in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.